here back for a Bengals Beat podcast. Still plenty to talk about with the Cincinnati Bengals offseason. Virtual offseason workouts have started for the veterans, but I'm alongside Tyler Dragon here. We're both home. And Tyler, the news never stops with the Cincinnati Bengals this offseason.
It definitely does not. I've been saying it since last year. This is the most newsworthy 2-14 team in NFL history. And going on this offseason, they've had, you know, a jam-packed, newsworthy free agency, number one overall pick in the NFL draft, and a week removed from the NFL draft, they release Andy Dalton. So the news just keeps on happening with this Bengals franchise. They are reshuffling the deck. They are rebuilding, as we have mentioned over and over again. And this was just the latest move in the rebuild that the Bengals are in the midst of. Andy Dalton, gone after 9 seasons with the Bengals.
Yeah, and we've talked about this plenty of times with Andy Dalton. The writing was pretty much on the wall. If you even go back to October, and everyone wants to bring up today, oh man, the Bengals missed the opportunity of not trading him in October. I agree with that. You and I have talked about that. At the same time, they were having a bad season, but they weren't in the same position of like Joe Burrow, we're getting Joe Burrow. They didn't secure that number one spot. It became more obvious as the weeks went on, and even that infamous Miami game that they almost won. But when you look at where they ended, it's just a little different than when you look at what happened in London in October when Zach Taylor said he was going to bench the quarterback.
Yeah, you know, for Andy Dalton's sake and the team's sake, I'm glad that at least he ended with a win. And it was a win against one of their arch rivals in the Cleveland Browns in the Battle of Ohio. So he went out on a good note. And after the game, it pretty much felt like a formality that Andy Dalton was on his way out. As soon as the Bengals really clinched that number one overall pick, it was a formality. But Andy Dalton knew the writing was on the wall. Everybody in the building knew the writing was on the wall. And as soon as Joe Burrow officially became that number one pick, the ball kind of got rolling with Andy Dalton either being released or traded. And the Bengals really couldn't find a trade partner. They lost leverage. I keep on saying it at the trade deadline. There were plenty of suitors that were interested in Andy Dalton when the trade deadline was happening. But the Bengals, they wanted Andy Dalton to stick around, and they thought he would have, you know, a vast trade market during this offseason. But when you saw all the quarterbacks that were available, the supply really did not meet the demand. So that's why Andy Dalton and the Bengals finally decided, you know what, let's just move on. And Andy Dalton asked today to be released, and the Bengals obliged.
Yeah, I think even going back to that, as you mentioned, they tried to find a trade partner, and no, it didn't work out back in October, and that didn't happen. Again, we're not in those rooms and finding out, you know, who was on the phone, what they're asking, and Chicago would have been the best landing spot. Everybody knows that all the starting quarterback jobs started to fill up. I mean, Cam Newton's still on the streets. I think the difference between Cam Newton and Andy Dalton right now, and a lot of people have been talking about this, is health. You look at Andy Dalton's career, he's been pretty healthy for the most part. The only time you really go back to a major injury for him, at least, was 2015. A story here, because 2015 was always my biggest what-if Andy Dalton years. A lot of people would say, oh, you know, he had a good start in 2018, but 2015, and it obviously has zero to do with that playoff game because he didn't even play in it. Andy Dalton was having one of his best seasons, an MVP season. I will remember everything about it. We were at Paul Brown Stadium that day. Pittsburgh was up on Cincinnati, and, you know, you're like, no, this is probably going to be an L. And all of a sudden, Andy threw a pick, and he made a tackle because he wanted to, you know, avoid the pick six, and just made a tackle and injured his thumb. And there were reports all Andy can come back. He'll be back if they go to the AFC Championship game or the divisional game. We'll never know. I don't think he would have been back at all in postseason because it happened so close to the playoffs. But that team would have never played the wild card game against the Steelers. And everybody knows that eventful night in Cincinnati, what happened there.
Hold on. Were you in the stands during this, or were you in the press box?
No, I was. I was covering the team for the Inquirer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and I just remember everything about it. Us in the press box, and we all looked at each other like, "Did Andy just go down?" Andy went down. Oh wow, AJ's working on the side right now. That's not good. That's not good because Andy Dalton is having a good season, And there was just, they were a couple games away from stealing that one or two seed. They would have had the first round bye. But I go back in 2015, I know a lot of people want to bring up the playoff game, and I get it. There was a lot of things happening that night. I feel like I was at Paul Brown Stadium for 13 hours that night. It was insane with all the things that were happening. But it really, for me, it goes back to 2015 against the Steelers. I want to say that was week 14 right now. And, I mean, just throwing – even 13, but I'm messing up my math right now, but I just remember him throwing that interception, and he goes back and he tries to make the tackle, and they've told him ever since, don't ever do it, just let him run. And that'll be a what if for Andy Dalton and Bengals history, because I think that he could have at least won a playoff game that year, and we won't know. And you know it, Tyler, and I know it in Cincinnati. I get it. Average is not good enough. Winning just a playoff game isn't good enough. But you have to start somewhere when you're in Cincinnati. But with Andy Dalton, I mean, in 2011, what he was able to do during his time here, 4 trips to the playoffs. He started 5, but he didn't get a start in the 5th one. When you look at those playoff games, yeah, Andy didn't look that great in it. You want to bring up his primetime woes of what he looked like under the lights. There were some good moments under Andy Dalton. I don't think you have to tie in a Super Bowl ring or a playoff win to say that Andy was just, he wasn't a good quarterback. He broke some numbers. He broke some numbers while he was here. And you look around the NFL, like, I know the national media narrative when people want to hammer Cincinnati and be like, oh, why would Joe Burrow want to go there? Blah, 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 blah. And not look at other teams who have struggled. It's easy to point at Cincinnati. I mean, they're a laughingstock at times because of the playoff drought. But Andy Dalton brought winning football seasons to this team. Him and AJ Green, when they were rookies, they weren't expected to make the impact they did. They backed into the playoffs a little bit in 2011, but still, the winning season they brought to Cincinnati, we saw that in the first few years with Andy Dalton.
Yeah, you know, it's funny you mentioned 2015, because I was talking to former Bengals safety George Ioka this offseason. He says that 2015 team is arguably the best squad and most talented squad he's ever played on in his football career. So that team was talented on both sides of the football. But as you said, Andy Dalton, I do agree with you. Even though he's never won a playoff game, was 0-4 in the playoffs, he had a pretty good career in Cincinnati with the multiple Pro Bowls, franchise leader in touchdown passes and completions. You don't become that by being just an average middle-of-the-road quarterback. He was above average. He did not win any playoff games. We all know that. That's the big black eye on his resume. But overall, he produced in Cincinnati, and he put out, you know, a competitive product on the field for most of his career. We know last year was a nightmarish season for him and the entire franchise. But when I look back at Andy Dalton's career in Cincinnati, I believe it's above average. I'll give him maybe a C-plus grade and maybe even go as far as a B-minus. Like I said, he went to multiple Pro Bowls, and you don't become – again, I can't stress this enough. You don't break franchise records – in touchdowns and completion percentage by being a mediocre quarterback. He was above mediocre, and he deserves respect. And his last game in Cincinnati, the fan base gave him a proper send-off by giving him a standing ovation, because he deserves it for his leadership and how he conducted himself on and off the field.
I think it's crazy. There are a couple games that really stand out besides the 2015 season and games. But it was against the Seattle Seahawks, and they were getting just demolished. And somehow the Cincinnati Bengals came back, and Andy Dalton was having himself a season in 2015. There were just several moments, and you actually saw it a little bit on social media today, because fans, they are embracing this new quarterback in Joe Burrow. They couldn't wait until it was official. I know the excitement's there. I've never seen anything like it. I've been going down to the Bengals locker room since 2013, interning from 2011, 2012, but the whole time Andy Dalton was the quarterback, and the way we saw the city just felt like they were partying on Thursday night, how excited they were to know that there is a change in quarterback, and everybody knows it was time to change. It's crazy how it happened. The comparisons we hear about Joe Burrow and what he can do, his confidence in the quarterback room and what his season was at LSU and is it going to be different? How is he going to win here and all of that stuff? That's all to be determined and we'll see what happens. But I just think with Andy Dalton, what he was able to do during his time here, I mean, he battled with O-line injuries. He lost A.J. Green half the time when A.J. Green was healthy. I mean, that was his number one target, of course. Oh, yeah. That duo, they were fun to watch during that time. So I think Andy Dalton, what he was able to do on the field, and never really gets enough credit in the city. And I get where people feel, you know, you got to win playoff games. You got to play better. He's average quarterback. But there was still winning. And off the field, what they were able to do with his foundation, with his wife, J.J., I've worked a couple events with them. I remember one of my favorite events that I worked, it was around Christmas time. Andy Dalton, I was emceeing the event. Andy Dalton had about maybe 10 to 15 families, and some of the players were there to just say, hey, what's going on? Spend the whole night with them. Andy's playing with the kids, talking with the kids, and he was paying medical bills for families. And I remember that night, those families that were all there, we're dealing with so many things from a child who might be dealing with an illness or just a lot of money that they have to pay off on medical bills for kids and just not a whole lot of money around Christmas time. Andy Dalton had each of those families make a Christmas wish list. And at the end of the night, behind a curtain, he removed the curtain and he had Christmas trees everywhere with all the gifts that the kids wanted on the Christmas list. And I just remember thinking, these kids are going to remember this forever. They might not remember that Andy Dalton didn't throw the game-winning playoff touchdown, but he just made my kids' Christmas that we couldn't give to him that year. And I just think there's so many things with the Andy and Jordan Dalton Foundation. I think sports came together. Tyler, you weren't covering the Bengals during this time, but you knew about it because you worked in the NFL. When Andy Dalton threw the touchdown pass to Tyler Boyd and it helped secure the Bills to the postseason, beating Baltimore, knocking Baltimore out, and Andy Dalton is 4th and 12, I want to say. Just unbelievable, throws it to Tyler Boyd. And you know the Bills Mafia. They get excited. They have fun. They went immediately to social media and just start donating to the Andy and Jordan Foundation, raising thousands and thousands.
Yeah, that was a national story, yeah.
It was so cool. And I remember the Bengals were going to play the Buffalo Bills the following year. And the Bills did a whole on-field thing for the Andy and Jordan Foundation. They have a spot in Buffalo at one of the hospitals from Andy Dalton that Andy Dalton put there, that the money that was raised from the foundation. I mean, he's always doing good things. And just 2 weeks ago, they sent a check to the healthcare workers here to just money towards COVID and everything that's going on because Cincinnati means so much to them. Last week, when Joe Burrow was drafted, and everybody's just, and I don't blame fans, the excitement is there. It's fun to watch. Decided to cover it, but it was almost like we mentioned, almost a breakup in the city, and it was a public breakup. Like, okay, we're moving on. Thanks for what you did, but we're moving on. And that's how it felt, like social media wise, and just kind of seeing the city. Andy Dalton reached out to the new quarterback. I mean, that whole exchange and text message, we don't know, or phone call is there, but Joe Burrow mentioned it. Yeah, Andy Dalton was one of the veterans who reached out to me. Andy Dalton was going through virtual off-season workouts the past couple days, knowing more than likely, he knew more than we did when we heard they're still communicating with him. You know, he may be released. They may restructure his contract. Nobody really knew until it became official today what was going to happen because that trade partner wasn't there. Really felt nothing was going to happen after draft weekend, that he was going to get traded anywhere. They were going to have to release him, and I think that all became official this week. Obviously, we saw that happen. But I think him doing that will always prove the kind of person he is. And look, I know nice guys, and not to say that wins you championships or anything like that, but I think when you think of Andy Dalton's time here, you can always think of he brought some winning football here, and what he did off the field will impacted so many families. I mean, there's so many events that I worked and went to that the families were just like, he doesn't understand what this means to my family. He's paying bills for my family that we were never going to be able to pay off. And they do it, and they don't want credit. They don't want any credit. And I just think that, like, that's when this is bigger than sports. And I'll remember that about Andy Dalton.
You sound like you were getting emotional there.
Oh, gosh. I'm actually monitoring Twitter as we talk, too, because he's probably going to land somewhere as I'm doing this.
you say that. I don't think he's going to be unemployed for long.
No.
I give it less than a week before Andy Dalton finds a new home. I'm thinking New England or Jacksonville, not necessarily in that order. Mm-hmm. I like him still with the Jacksonville Jaguars, him being reunited with Jay Gruden, the former Bengals offensive coordinator. I think that's a pretty good fit in Jacksonville, gives him some comfort and support that he had in Cincinnati there. And the Jacksonville Jaguars, they don't have a lot of talent, but it gives him an opportunity to compete for that starting quarterback position. In New England, they do have a lot more talent than what the Jaguars can offer. That defense is still loaded, and pretty much they're just missing a quarterback. I know a lot of people think that Jared Stidham is the answer and the heir apparent to Tom Brady. I am not one of those people. Stidham, from what I've seen on film and his limited opportunities in preseason, he's a quarterback that still has a lot of growing to do. Andy Dalton could immediately step in there in New England and start for that team, but also they can contend for the playoffs. But I'm not sure if the New England Patriots are going to go that route. Maybe they just want to go young at that quarterback position. I am hearing, though, that both the Jaguars and the Patriots do have some interest. It's just going to be if they can make money work and what Andy Dalton feels as though is the best situation for him. And there's probably some mystery teams out there. I heard that Jacksonville and New England aren't the only two teams that have expressed interest already in Dalton. So it should be interesting these next few days to see where Andy Dalton lands. He's not going to be unemployed for long. It was interesting because on Twitter, I ranked the quarterback free agents. And you mentioned Cam Newton. I still have Cam Newton ranked slightly above Andy Dalton. I think Newton is a little bit more versatile. It's just those injuries are what holds Cam Newton back. But he's an NFL MVP. There's not a lot of NFL MVPs who are on the open market ever. So Cam Newton's still number one in my book. Andy Dalton is slightly below at number two. And then you have Joe Flacco still out there, Super Bowl champion Joe yeah. Flacco. So there are quarterbacks out there still looking for jobs. It's going to be really, really intriguing to see where Andy Dalton lands because he does have some competition. Cam Newton's going to generate interest, especially when he can go in and get a physical and teams can kind of monitor his injury situation because he's been nicked up of late. And then Joe Flacco, a little bit down the list at number three. There's a gap between Cam Newton.
It's a lot. It's a lot.
I don't know if it's a lot, but there is a gap. There's a noticeable gap. But you do have to respect Joe Flacco and what he's also accomplished in the NFL. And he can be a bridge quarterback to that next situation at that quarterback position. So I'm intrigued to see what happens with these three veteran quarterbacks because, in my opinion, they're not going to be unemployed for long.
All right, I don't agree that the gap is just a little. I think it's a lot there with Joe Flacco. I think I put him down here. His injury list, I just don't. And you could say the same thing for Cam Newton. I think if Cam didn't, he was a physical quarterback and fun to watch.
Oh, yeah.
What Cam Newton has going for him, too, is he's going to get people in seats.
Yes.
I truly believe that if he went to New England, actually, as a NFL fan of just, like, watching the game, I want to see Bill Belichick and Cam Newton together and see what that's like. So, I mean, like, even Jameis Winston, there were reports that he didn't go to Pittsburgh so he could learn from Drew Brees. And I think, honestly, I want to see minds like that. I want to see Bill Belichick with Cam Newton because I still think Cam Newton can have another quarterback life in the NFL. The same thing for Andy Dalton. The thing is, when you look at the Patriots and you look at Jacksonville, and I've said it for a couple months now, I think Jacksonville is actually the best spot for Andy Dalton. I like it better. I like him and Jay Gruden together as former offensive coordinator. As we mentioned, Tyler Eifert, I just like that better. I think Andy Dalton could have, you know, his second career, but I do think Jacksonville is still rebuilding, so it's not going to look pretty. But if you wanted to take a chance on someone who has experience and a veteran like Cam Newton and Andy Dalton, this is the best time. I mean, you're dealing with virtual workouts. I was talking to someone yesterday, Jim Nagy from the Senior Bowl, and he said the difficult thing about that being a rookie when you go from the virtual offseason and learning the playbook, and he's like, look, Joe Burrow's smart. The guy's going to do his homework. I think our meeting with him, the post-game or the post-draft presser, you really got that from him. Like, I'm going to do what I need to do, get everything done. And I think they get that in Joe Burrow. You have to be a disciplined guy during this offseason because the coaches aren't there. They're not sitting with you. They're hoping you're doing it. They're hoping you're reading the playbook and you're going over everything that you're supposed to. And then they'll see each other May 11th. But I think that's what Andy Dalton and Cam Newton have going for them. I mean, they've been in these situations before. They know how an offseason works, even if they were at Paul Brown, if Andy Dalton was at Paul Brown Stadium. But here's my hot take on both of them, or just the quarterback situation in general. When you look at the New England Patriots and the Jacksonville Jaguars, I think that Andy goes to Jacksonville. Cam maybe with the Patriots. I think there could be more movement when we get into preseason and regular season with injuries too, when it comes to them starting on an NFL team. But whichever team doesn't get them, Trevor Lawrence is going to be there next year. Whichever
the Patriots team, aren't losing enough games to get Trevor Lawrence.
They're not.
I'll tell you that right now.
people need to learn. And we knew this in Cincinnati. Nobody's tanking. We need to put that to bed. Nobody's tanking for Trevor Lawrence. The Bengals didn't tank for Joe Burrow. They actually played better football towards the end of the season when they helped secure their spot to be the number one pick. I mean, you look at that Miami game. I know nobody wanted them to win the game besides the people who were playing. I mean, Tyler Boyd just crawling to the sideline. He was doing everything he could. Andy Dalton.
That was a crazy game to cover. I'll tell you that.
It's insane, but that helped secure their spot. I mean, and everyone said, just lose to Miami. Then we'll say goodbye to Andy in the Cleveland game. And it's just crazy how it worked out. But I remember actually kind of going back to Cleveland. I remember talking to Carlos Dunlap at the end of the game. And he was like, look, without saying Andy Dalton's name, he's like, it's going to look different next year. We know that. But Carlos Dunlap has been on this team for 10 years last season, for a decade, which is crazy to think. And he's been there the whole entire time Andy Dalton was. And for him to say, we're going to get together and we're going to handle everything as it comes. Seeing some of their reactions from the former players and just their goodbyes. These guys are going to miss this guy. And as you know, Andy Dalton, just a good human. And we've already talked about that. But I just think that where he goes next, will it be his better story? You know, will he finally get over that hump when it comes to the playoffs? Will he be able to succeed? I mean, that's what I want to watch. And I hope he does. I truly hope he lands somewhere where he succeeds.
Well, his best opportunity to succeed is obviously the New England Patriots.
Oh, for sure.
Belichick,
for sure.
And that defense. That defense is top five in the NFL. And Jacksonville, they're pretty much – they don't have a lot of talent, that football team, outside of Leonard Fournette and a couple defensive players. They've pretty much shipped off all their talent via release or trades. And they're in probably going to be a worse football team than the Bengals in 2020. So if he wants to win, then Patriots are at the top of the list. But it's going to be very, very interesting to see if the Patriots actually pull the trigger and sign Andy Dalton when you have Jarrett Stidham and you also have, like I said, Cam Newton right there. I know there's some people that disagree, but I strongly believe that Cam Newton is the best quarterback still available on the open market. Andy Dalton is number two, in my opinion. The NFL is not without a shortage of storylines. And a week after the NFL draft, there is still a lot of unanswered questions. And that's with this quarterback position. Most of the big names are already off the board, but when you still have multiple Pro Bowlers and Andy Dalton and Cam Newton on the open market waiting for new jobs. Man, I can't wait to see where they land. And I hope for their sake, they'll be able to land on their feet and be able to have an opportunity to resume their NFL careers and play and actually start, because you know that they are both itching to get back to be a starter. Joe Flacco, not so much. He's lost his starting spot a while ago to multiple quarterbacks. But you know, as a competitor and as an athlete, you want to be out there as a starter, especially when you have jewelry. Joe Flacco has jewelry, so he wants to be a starting quarterback as well. But, you know, it's man, I'm really, really intrigued to see where these quarterbacks go, because when you look across the NFL landscape, all the quarterback positions are pretty much taken up, all those slots. Besides New England, you're having questions. Okay, you really think, are the Patriots really going to start Jarrett Stidham after 20 years with Tom Brady? And then you look at Jacksonville, and you're like, Gardner Minshew, really? He isn't that good. Are you really going forward with him? And after you traded away some of your best pieces and given up a lot of assets, and all you really have on offense is Leonard Fournette, like, what are you guys doing? So Jacksonville's a mystery team. I don't know which direction they want to go. They need to satisfy that fan base too, because they're also going to have a problem putting fans in the seats whenever we get past this coronavirus pandemic. So there's a lot of unanswered questions across the league right now, especially in Jacksonville and in New England behind center.
Yeah, well, when the schedule comes out in a couple weeks, we'll find out how that looks for Jacksonville, because they're supposed to have two games in London. And that's pretty much to show you, like, hey, nobody's coming to our home games anymore, so we're going to go over here. And everybody loves football in London. Everybody's excited. So I think both of those are interesting. And honestly, with Jacksonville, I feel like it's going to be a rebuild. And I don't know if it's going to be a rebuild all bouncing back in 2021. I think they have a lot of work to do on both sides of the ball. Yeah, if you're Andy Dalton, that's what's interesting, because you're 32 years old. And, of course, you were going to get $17.7 million this year. That is not happening on any team. But you think to yourself, I'm 32 years old. Do I want to go somewhere where I'm familiar with the setting? Or do I want to go somewhere with the genius of football? And I'm not going to be Tom Brady. The expectations are extremely still high in New England when you go there. It's a different atmosphere. I talked to Corey Dillon about it a couple years ago. And everybody knows his time in Cincinnati. And he was like, I'd rather flip burgers than play for Cincinnati. And it was during some bad, bad seasons. He broke the yards rushing record in 2000. I wouldn't remember that game. I was a kid. But going back to that moment, he goes to New England. And I was interviewing him probably 3 years ago, and I asked him, I was like, so you didn't bring your Super Bowl ring back to Cincinnati? He'd be like, look what I did. And he says, no. He's like, you know, things are different in New England. And I said, well, what's the biggest difference besides winning Super Bowls? And he said, when you walk in the door in New England, it's business. Mm-hmm. And it's not about, oh, let's have a winning season and like do our best or win a playoff game. He says, the mindset from day one when you walk in is championships, and that's it.
Take your way, do your job.
And that's it. And if you don't want to do that, then see you later. There's the door. But he said, that's the way it was. He's like, the whole mindset of it was championships. Like, you better be ready to win a Super Bowl every single year. And he said that was really the biggest difference when he went there. And I think a lot of things have changed in Cincinnati since the Corey Dillon days, obviously. But I found that interesting, like the mindset of when you walk in the door at Foxborough to see what that's like. And everybody knows Bill Belichick is what he is. I have so much interest in that, and the Tom Brady and Gronk in Tampa, and what Bill is able to do. If they stay with Stidham, if he's like, you know what, this is going to be my bridge guy, or Bill Belichick, he likes that competition, and maybe he's like, I can make this guy good. I can make him what I want. And Andy Dalton could be like, I want to go there. I mean, I know, and they had Tom Brady, and I'm not Tom Brady, but I want that to be my second stop in my career. So I am interested in Andy Dalton's decision. Yes, it comes down to money too, but a good situation for yourself. I think when you get a certain point in the NFL, especially when you're 32 years old, going to be 33, maybe it's best to go to somewhere I'm familiar with, or I don't know, people who play in the NFL, they want to compete for that job. They want to be a starter. And I think that had a lot to do, obviously, with Andy Dalton and the Bengals coming to that release agreement. Of course, $17.7 million is a big difference, too, when you have your number one quarterback. But I think that, you know, obviously, if he wanted to stay in Cincinnati to be a mentor to Joe Burrow, there could have been some restructure there, but they didn't. And what does that mean, Tyler, when that 17.7 is gone? What does that mean for Cincinnati right now when you look at the future and what they're dealing with some of the contracts?
they don't have to worry about any of that $17.7 million against the cap. They can use that money and allocate it towards those rookie contracts and those contracts that they spent and offered to in free agency. They spent, like I said, upwards of $150 million on free agents this offseason. So they have Andy Dalton's money officially off the books, so they can divvy it up. So that's why I always said that it was inevitable that the Bengals were going to part ways from Dalton. They were not going to pay $17.7 million for a backup quarterback. It didn't work cap-wise, and you don't see $17 million backup quarterbacks in the NFL. That just does not happen. I don't care what kind of quarterback you are. Bengals had made it official. They're moving on with Joe Burrow. And when they said that, that's why I did not ever believe that they were going to restructure Andy Dalton's deal and keep Andy Dalton too, because it's a tough pill to swallow when you're going to ask a quarterback who has started 9 years for the franchise, has the franchise touchdown record in completions, multi-time Pro Bowler. So you're going to go up and ask him, hey, you know, after all these years, what you mean to the franchise, we're going to demote you for a rookie who's never taken an NFL snap before. And also, we are going to give you a significant pay cut. I know Andy Dalton is a good guy. I know he's a model citizen. But anybody in their right mind would say, you know what, just release me or trade me. Because that, any athlete, especially Andy Dalton's position, it's not like he's at the very end of his career going on 38, 39, 40 years old. He's still 32. You can make an argument that he still has 3 prime years ahead of him. He's not going to take a pay cut and be demoted by a rookie and just say, hey, I'll just sit back and hold a clipboard all day for 16 weeks. No, 17 weeks. No, he's not going to say that.
No, and I truly believe that Andy Dalton, if they would have figured that out and that would have happened, Andy Dalton would be there, be the mentor, and give the best advice to Joe Burrow, because he's just that kind of person. I just find it what his mindset is going into the decision, because now he gets to make a decision. And Brian Callahan talked about it during the NFL draft, and we've talked about it on here, where he was just like, look, we have so much respect for Andy Dalton. And I truly believe that. You know Mike Brown. You've had conversations with him. We've been around him. I know how people feel, but the dude respects these guys. That's why you see these guys getting second contracts here. They wanted to work out in Cincinnati, and I truly believe the Bengals have all the respect in the world for Andy Dalton and wherever he does land, and they wanted to do right by him, and I know how some feel. Well, you should have traded him in October. That's over. You know, you can't what if. You can't back it up and say, oh, man, if only would have – it's over. And there wasn't a trade partner. So nothing happened after draft weekend, and they probably waited to see if maybe New England would give a call on draft weekend and be like, hey, you know what, we got that extra fourth rounder. Wanted to see if you guys would want to make a deal here, and they didn't. So the Bengals are like, okay, well, unfortunately, we got to let you go, but we free up space. So – it's good for both parties. And I find it interesting, man. Tyler, this offseason, like I mentioned, I'm seeing reports today. Look, I feel out of all of the sports, and again, no doctor over here, listen to the professionals. But I think out of all the sports right now, the NFL has the best bet of playing because of eyes and television contracts and all that stuff. I think they make most of their money from that. Of course, owners want people in seats. But now I'm hearing reports that there could be more Saturday NFL football. Well, we already get that towards the end of the season. You'll see that where some teams will play on the Saturday, some on Sunday before we get into playoffs. But could you see this happening? I mean, if college football doesn't happen, putting NFL on Saturdays too?
Yeah, especially if college football doesn't happen. You know, NFL likes to own specific days of the week. They already own Sunday, Monday night, Thursday night. I can see that happening earlier in the season if there's no college football. But nobody really knows when sports are going to resume because of this coronavirus pandemic. I can see actually golf starting back up first, because you can be socially distant with golf as well as baseball to a degree. So as far as football, you have a lot of men in one building, in one field together. That's the polar opposite of being socially distant. So things need to calm down. We got to flatten the curve. I know I said it again, but we have to flatten the curve of this coronavirus before football can resume, because there are a lot of people in close proximity on a football field each and every day once football season starts.
I'm the optimistic one, as you know, and I truly feel that they will find a way to get football started. And at the moment, I don't think that decision should be made. I think you just got to see how this progress goes. And obviously, the NFL has plans for the virtual off seasons right now. We don't know when we'll see training camp, if training camp will happen in July, maybe August. It's all to be determined. But I do appreciate that the NFL isn't saying, well, we're moving the season to October, November, and we'll start it off. And they're going to do a little wait and see. And I appreciate that with sports, because here's how I feel. We've talked about this before. We were going to do podcasts. We were going to have videos out during all of this. There could have been zero news happening. And in my getaway from the news and not wanting to see the bad things on TV is talking sports. So I truly believe America wants that. They in a safe way, be extremely safe somehow. If there's no fans in the seats, if it's just on TV, you know, some way. I appreciate that the NFL is still having things go on. They still have the NFL draft go on. And it was one of the best NFL drafts. People were talking about it. They said you really could relate to it, seeing the family's excitement on the couch with the player. And I just think that moment we were all in. I mean, the Michael Jordan documentary, oh, we can't wait to see it. It's Michael. It's on TV. It's a new sporting event. It's not just the same thing. And that's how I feel about sports. So when it comes to the NFL, I truly believe they're going to try the safest way to get it going. And maybe it's not on time, but maybe I'm too optimistic, Tyler.
Well, no, trust me, everybody feels the way you feel. Sports provides a release from what's happening in society. When there's live sports on TV, people can forget about what's going on, all the trials and tribulations in their day-to-day life. Sports brings out excitement, brings out joy in a lot of people, and it just helps, especially with what's going on right now. As you mentioned, the Michael Jordan documentary and the draft, they provided a diversion with everything that's going on. If you haven't noticed, I've worn a Jordan, something of Jordan, course. Every single day of every single time we've had a podcast, just to commemorate the Last Dance documentary, because I've just been so excited each and every week. It's something to look forward to, other than everything that's on all these news stations and, you know, the news that's going on with everything that's happening around this virus. So with sports going on, I've gotten tired of watching the 2006 NBA Finals, yeah, and the 1978 Super Bowl. I'm a little bit tired of watching sports from the past and before I was born and after I was born. It's just I want some new content on TV, and the draft provided that. Props to the NFL. That was must-see TV. You saw it in the ratings this past week. They blew it off the charts. And then with this documentary going on, it's must-see television. I mean, it's Michael Jordan, so everybody's going to watch anyways. Probably the most popular athlete in the history of sports. But it's also because people want a release from all the, you know, what's going on with the coronavirus. It's terrible news and it's heartbreaking news to watch. So sports is something that helps uplift you. So I hope, I like you and everybody else, we all hope that the NFL, Major League Baseball, NBA, golf, hockey, all sports can come back as soon as possible. But first and foremost, they have to make sure it is safe for the athletes and the fans for sports to resume. And that takes precedent over anything else.
It's all to be determined right now, but we'll still get to work over on Cincinnati.com. Make sure you're checking everything up on the Facebook page online at E&Q Sports on Twitter. Tyler, what's up on the Enquirer site?
Well, I have to give props to the Enquirer sports staff, because we have probably the best, not probably, we do have the best content of Andy Dalton on the website, from his release today to what Andy Dalton means to Cincinnati, photo galleries. It's just great content, and it's not just mine. It's from the entire sports staff and the photojournalists. So props to everybody for a great day covering Bengals football, especially Andy Dalton and his release from the Cincinnati Bengals today.
Go check it out. I'm actually going to be doing an interview tomorrow with NBC's Peter King, a former Bengals beat writer. And we're going to talk everything Cincinnati, Andy Dalton, Joe Burrow, and this offseason. So make sure you're staying tuned. Thanks for listening to the Bengals Beat Podcast.